has blessed us in so many ways. It'd be just take all day just to tell it, just a little bit of how he has blessed us as a family, as a church. And I want to say I have a special guest I'm supposed to speak. We have prayed for her, and she's here this morning. Kay, we're glad to have you in our service, girl. I thank the Lord for you. Would you stand? There she is right over here. Her family's there. Our prayers have been answered. She's here today. Praise God for you. Glad you came through. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 28. Just hold your finger there when you get to Proverbs 22, verse 28. And then in your Bible, look to Deuteronomy 28. That's in the Old Testament, about five books over from the beginning. Big, long word there. 28, verse 1. Proverbs 22, verse 28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." Okay? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, that you've allowed us to come into your house and just worship you. And Lord, each one of us are here today and we have needs in our heart. And Lord, you know those needs better than we do. And Lord, I ask you that you touch us at the point of our need. Lord, speak to our hearts. And Lord, if we do not know you as Lord and Savior, my prayer is this morning that we might come to trust you before it's too late. Lord, many of us have trusted you as our Lord and Savior, and yet our lives are not committed to you like we should be. And today, Lord, if we need to renew that commitment, then Lord, may we come and do that. And then, Father, there's those there visiting with us that they don't have a church home or they're looking for a church home. And Lord, if you would have them to come here, Lord, I pray that you would touch them today, that they might come and join this fellowship, that we might serve you together to reach this community and our world. Lord, that your perfect will be done. We give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. You know, if you turn on the news today and see anything, you see that America is really in a mess, isn't it? I would have to say we're pretty well in a mess. You know, our president, his campaign was, "Let's make America great again." Praise the Lord. I want America to be great again. I want to see America turn back to God. That's the only way America is going to be great again. You know that it says here, "Remove not the ancient landmarks." A landmark was just a boundary marker. Had our property surveyed a couple of years ago and went out there with a surveyor and we circled the land and he come to a corner and he dug down, he got his metal detector and he found a little post. And I said, "I wonder how long that's been there." And he said, "Ever since this land was marked off back in 1930-something. And I thought, "Man, that's a long time ago." Wasn't that long ago for some of us, but it was for me. And I thought, that's been there all these years. And I thought I knew everything about this property because I've walked over it many times. I've actually stood in those corners, but I didn't know there was a marker down there marking our property line. And on the other corner, there's another one. Guess what? On the other corner, there's another one. And they got four of them there. And those are there so that we'll know that that's our boundary line. And guess what? My neighbor's a foot over on my property. we grew up together, and I said, hey, man, I ain't worried about a foot. You know, if you ever want to sell it, just mark off that and give me the money for it. I tell you what, he's a good guy. We put up the fence around our place, and he said, you want to move it a foot? And I said, no, I'll just leave it just like it is. I've been living with it this many years, and it's not going to hurt. What are you going to do with a foot? You know, hold a lot of people if you lined them up, I guess. But, you know, that's just an allotted portion of our property there. But in the Old Testament, they set markers up. God gave each tribe a certain amount, and each land was marked by a property, a marker. Sometimes it was rocks and stones that they piled up there, and it was against God's orders to move those markers, those landmarkers, because in doing so, it was breaking God's covenant and stealing. And this being the weekend that we celebrate our nation's freedom, the 4th of July, our founding fathers established some very ancient landmarks in our country. And today, we see those landmarks being removed, slowly, by a little bit. And I believe with all my heart, God will judge our nation, and God will judge any nation that has does away with the landmarks that he has established in his covenant. And one of them is God's sovereign providence is a landmark. Our forefathers, guess what? They believed in God and the self-evidence that God existed. In the Declaration of Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they're endowed by their Creator. Man, listen to what they said. They believed in a Creator. In other words, they believed in God. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God. They actually believed that. And today we're told that, no, that's not exactly right. But yes, it is right. They believed in God, and there is a God. And he loves you this morning. Isn't that amazing that God, I stood out and looked at the moon the other night. It was coming up, and oh, that's a big old moon. And I thought, man, it's way out there. I may never get to go around it or anything like that. But I know my God created it. You see? And not only that, all those stars and the trillions of them. I don't even know what a trillion is, but it sounded good anyhow. That's as high as I know. Does anybody know what goes after a trillion? See, I came from rec law, and when you lost all your hands, fingers, and your toes, that's all you could go to. But a trillion, at least. They believed in a sovereign God who ruled in the affairs of man. Think about that. Our God is ruling in the affairs of man. You know what? He's interested in your life right now. Whether you know it or not, he's ruling in your life right now. Did you know that you're not here by accident? No. God knew years ago that you was going to be here today, July the 1st, right? Anyhow, it's one of those days. I'm not good at that. But we're going to be here. God knew that, and he placed you here today. And let me tell you, he even knew what he's going to say to you today. Isn't that amazing? Now you think, oh, preacher, he doesn't know that. He knows every single thought that you're thinking. He rules in the affairs of man. Our forefathers believed that. This was a landmark set up in the Constitution of the founding of our very nation. A belief in God who is active, who's providential, a God who is sovereign. And if you know something, they capitalized that word creator. Why? Because they personalized the person of God. You see? There weren't many gods. No, there's just one God. And they believed that they were created by him. and they were created in His image. You see, now, we're losing that landmark today because we can't say today in our schools and a lot of places, you can't say you were created by God. No, you evolved. I don't know about you, but I didn't evolve. I was created. I'm special. If you think you evolved, you go right ahead, but you're going to be wrong. You see, God created you in His image. And you know, today we have generations. I say generation because there's more than one now. You know, we have generations who don't believe that. They're taught evolution. They're taught that it all just happened out there somewhere. Oh, that's so wrong. And we can't talk about God anymore because what? We've taken God out of our schools. I remember when I was a kid, you know, we had four in my class, my grade, not my class. Y'all have classes with, some of you have classes with 30 or 20 or something like that. My son went off to college. He found out a class may have 100 or so in it. But you know, we had four in the first grade. We all made it to the second grade. One of them failed in the third grade. I alone lasted to the fourth grade. The only reason I did that, I moved to New Summerfield. I got out of that school. Too many of them were failing. But no, it burnt down. You know, it burnt down the year I left. I wonder why. I don't know. Somebody said lightning struck it. I'm glad I was out of there. They'd have blamed me for it. But did you know that, you know, we had prayer every morning. Miss Mary Lou Murray was my first grade teacher. And she would stand us up there. We would salute the flag, and we would pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and then we would sing, God Bless America, maybe. But we had prayer for our country, for our leaders, for our teachers. Every single morning, we prayed for our kids. I tell you what, we learned about God in school, and nobody stopped us. But you know what? That's changed today. You let a teacher get up and at their classroom sing God Bless America and pledge allegiance to the flag. You know, you don't want to know what I think about those football players that won't stand and pledge allegiance to the flag, but they would be catching the next bus out of there. I would send them back to their own countries. And to talk about families being divided, I don't want to get into politics, but I'd send their families too. You see, if they want to salute our flag, that would be like a Christian saying, you know, I like America because I can read the Bible, but I don't want to pledge allegiance to God or nothing about it. You know, it just doesn't work that way. But little by little, we have taken away the landmarks of faith in our lives. And notice they believed in the self-evidence of truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, which means that these truths are truths upon which America would be based upon the Word of God. All the government now is in chaos because I believe it all started when we started abortions and taking the Bible out of schools and taking the Ten Commandments away from the classroom. Man, our government is in chaos. Our towns are in chaos. You know, our borders are in chaos. Our schools are in chaos. Our churches are in chaos. Our police are being targeted, you know. Our families are divorcing. Man, it just sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? We've taken away the landmarks of faith in which God says, don't do that. I can't bless you as a nation. And the standards of this truth that God planted in our forefathers, in the hearts of those men who wrote our Constitution, came from the Creator Himself. They believed that something is right because God said it was right. And if God said it was wrong, then it's wrong. And I'm telling you, in America, our ancient landmarks of this world, now we don't have any absolutes. Whatever you want to do is all right as long You know, there's no right or no wrong. And we're raising a generation that thinks like that. And scary, they're our future leaders. Let's not remove the ancient landmarks of truth, of God's sovereign word. And then God's sovereign precepts. Listen, James Madison was called the chief architect of the Constitution of the United States, and he said this: "We have staked the whole nation of America and our civilization upon the power of our government. Far from it, we have staked the future of all political institutions upon the capacity of mankind to self-government, upon the capacity of each and all to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves, according to what? The Ten Commandments of God." He said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me." God means that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, he said. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet thy neighbor's house. He said, this is what God has set up, his precepts. And our nation was built on these supreme precepts of our supreme God. And let me tell you something. The devil wants to destroy the landmarks. No wonder he's attacked our Ten Commandments, because he wants this country based on something else than God's word. The writings of the Quran and Confucius and all these other Eastern philosophers, they're not based on the word of God. Our government was organized like this, and it's a biblical pattern. Three branches of government: executive, judicial, and the legislative. Isaiah 33:22 says, "The Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, our king." As the judge is the judicial, the lawgiver is the legislative, and the king is the executive. God's Ten Commandments. And yet, humanists in our country and our networks want you to think differently. They want you to believe the way they believe. Don't you do it. If it goes against God's word, then it's not biblical. Another landmark that is being erased is marriage and the family values. Folks, our land was founded upon families seeking to worship God. The family upon which this nation was built is a husband and wife making a home. But in our day, we're seeking to remove that landmark of all the families and the family structures and values. The liberals, and this is not political, folks, I'm just telling it like it is. The liberals and the judges who are liberal, they will not quit. They will not be silent in their thinking, because, you know, they only make up a short percentage of our population, and yet they're willing to remove the ancient landmarks that God has placed in his word and his law. And friends, there is nothing more damaging and harmful to America than a family that is made up of two men or two women. It's just not biblical. Let's not remove those landmarks of God's providence and his precepts. And then the last thing I want to talk about is where I told you to turn to in Deuteronomy 28. God's sure promise. God's sure promise. This is the promise of God. If America is to be made again great, look at verse 1. "Now it shall come to pass, if you are diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, and blessed shall you be of the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of the flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you, to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and what walk in his ways. Then all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Man, you know what's wrong in our country? God has given us a sure promise. And he said, listen, I will bless you if you keep my commandments. I will bless you overflowing, and every nation is going to be afraid of you. And today, they're not afraid of us. Wonder why? We have turned away from God. We have turned away from God. A little country like North Korea is not afraid of us anymore. Why? They know that we've turned away from God. God's not going to stand and bless us. Listen, we take for granted a lot of things. But look what God says in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and all his statutes which I command to you, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. And then he goes through all of these. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be your basket. Cursed shall be of the fruit. Cursed shall you be when you come in. And cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send these cursings, confusion, rebuke, and all that set your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the plague cling to you as he consumes you with the land which you are going to possess. Man, I tell you what, folks, the Lord, let's turn over to the last verse, 25. Look what it says. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Folks, God has removed, I believe, those landmarks. We have removed those landmarks, and a nation is not going to be blessed when they turn against God. That's just simple facts. Our homes, our cities, our lawlessness just fills our land. Every day you see someone shooting, killing innocent people. Why? Lawlessness has filled our land. And it's time for the church to be the church. It's time for us to be committed to Christ. That's the only answer. And we need to wake up. America. If we're ever going to be great again. And it starts with the family. It starts with the husband. It starts with an individual to be committed to Christ, heart and soul, sold out for God. What does he say? When my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. He's not going to hear us until we get our lives right with him. Now listen, I don't know about you, but listen to me this morning and then I'll close. I set a landmark in my life in 1975, May 5th. I set a boundary. I drove a stake down. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He has never left me. I will always be his. He will always be mine. I'm not clinging to him. He's clinging to me. He's got me by the hand. And he says he will lead me through. He is my Savior. He's my Redeemer. And he's my Lord. He wants to be your Savior today. He wants to be your Redeemer today. He wants to be your Lord today. I know some of you came here this morning and you had no idea what was going to happen. Let me tell you something. I know one thing. No matter how messy our nation gets, no matter how messy this world gets, Jesus Christ loved me. He died for me. My sins were buried with him that day on that cross. He nailed them there to that cross. My sins put him there. He died for you and he died for me. I believe that with all my heart. I gave my life to him. I knew that I couldn't live up to the commandments. Still can't. But I know his blood washes me clean. And I'm safe and I am secure in him. I love that song. My anchor holds, though the ship is battered. My anchor holds when the winds blow and the stormy sea. Jesus Christ. I go back to that landmark. I dig down into the Word of God and I see there's the mark. 1975, I gave my life to Christ. God put me in his book. I am his child. I said, Lord, I want you today to come into my life. And you know what? He did. He came in. He sealed me with his Spirit. And he will not remove that Spirit. It will be there all the way. That little metal marker said 1938, I believe, or 32. I can't remember what he said. But you know what? That may be a long time. But my marker with God will be for all eternity. The devil can't take it. The devil can't change it. God's got us in his hand. I like that little song we sang in the first grade. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Oh, praise God. I believe if you're not there, he wants you to come into his hands today. Would you simply accept him by faith? Preacher, is that all there is to it? I believe I'm a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. I believe that he died on the cross for me. And he said, if I will come to him, he will accept me just as I am. You know, you don't come to God and clean up your life. You come to God and he'll clean up your life. I tell you what, little bit by little bit, he's still working on me. Man, I'm glad he's not through, because I'm not nowhere close. But he just keeps chipping away, chipping away, chipping away. Man, the devil can't remove that marker. Death can't shake it. If you'll come to him today, he'll set that boundary in your life. He'll fill you with his presence, and you can live for him for all eternity. It's just that simple. Now, if you're not willing to do that, you'll go out of here today having heard the word of truth and rejected our Lord and Savior and his sacrifice, and one day you will die. You won't go to heaven because you have rejected his sacrifice for you. You don't want to go to the other place. It's a place called hell. And I believe it's real too, just as real as heaven is. And I don't want to go there, and I don't want you to go there, and guess what? God don't want you to go there. But if you reject him, it's your choosing to go there. I hear people all the time say, well, God won't send anyone to hell. He's not sending you there. You choosing to go there by rejecting his offer of forgiveness. I'm so glad I accepted him. Would you do that today? We're going to have a prayer, and then the song director is going to come, and he's going to lead us in a verse or two of invitation. And at that moment, when that invitation starts playing, if you want to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've accepted him, you need to make a commitment, recommitment, you just come and kneel at the altar. Whatever. If you want to join the church, come, let me know. I'll tell you how. But don't leave out of this place not doing what God has told you to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the ancient landmarks, your sovereignty, Lord, your precepts, and Lord, your promises to bless us if we'll follow your will. We give you praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.